This morning on WCHL, Orange County commissioners need some questions answered before jumping on board financially with Chapel Hill on the Ephesus Fordham plan.
If the county does not participate, it will certainly make our financing weaker.
Chapel Hill continues its conversation tonight about Ephesus Fordham and how to improve the stormwater infrastructure. And what does a second chance at life look like?
I'm just so grateful and thankful that you believed in me.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, UNC women's tennis advances to the Final Four. Men don't have quite the same luck. And North Carolina's baseball team takes on North Carolina State, finally, tomorrow. And
yes, Carolina and State will finally play a baseball game this season.
As I said, that's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
707 at WCHL, 47 degrees in Chapel Hill. Rather chilly this morning. It's going to be nice today. Sunshine with the high in the low 70s. And by Wednesday, we'll be back in the upper 80s. So the warm weather has not gone away. Orange County commissioners say they're interested in partnering with the town of Chapel Hill to fund the Ephesus Fordham renewal plan. But first, they will need answers about the project's impact on flooding, housing, and schools. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Reserved enthusiasm is how Chair Barry Jacobs characterized the Board of County Commissioners' approach to helping Chapel Hill finance the Ephesus Fordham revitalization plan.
We're not here to judge the project. The project has been approved. We're going to try and address our concerns and hopefully make this a strong partnership.
The town council approved rezoning for nearly 190 acres last Monday in a bid to spur redevelopment near the Ephesus Church Road and Fordham Boulevard intersection. The council will likely approve a plan later this spring to spend $10 million to build new roads and improve infrastructure in the region. The debt will be paid using the increased tax revenue from new growth. But in order to pay down the debt sooner, the town is asking the county to chip in 50% of either the annual debt payment or the incremental tax revenue, up to $400,000 a year for a total of approximately $7 million. Chapel Hill's Business Management Director Ken Penoyer said while the town could finance the project alone, Orange County's participation would put the project on more sound financial footing.
If the county does not participate, it will certainly make our financing weaker in terms of the capacity of our funds to pay back. If the county does not participate, we will try to move forward with it based on what we have.
While the board expressed interest in the plan, commissioners worried the town had not adequately anticipated the impact of new residential growth on the schools. With 300 to 450 new students estimated in the area, Jacob said finding a nearby school site would be crucial.
We're going to be essentially generating enough students to at least populate half of an elementary school, and the nearest elementary school is one of the older, smaller elementary schools. So if we're being realistic, however much it's going to cost, we need a site. And if there's a site, it makes it way more feasible for us.
Commissioners also questioned the affordability of the new housing in the district, as the newly adopted form-based code prevents the town from mandating developers provide affordable housing options. Though some on the board sought to debate the merits of the plan, Vice Chair Earl McKee pointed out that as of last Monday's vote, it's likely a done deal.
The increased expenses to the county are going to be there. The increased revenue to the county is going to be there regardless of whether we participate. Whether we participate, for me, will depend on trying to work with our partner towns.
Jacobs told Chapel Hill representatives the board will need more information about schools, housing, and the district's stormwater plan. He said board members won't likely be ready to make a funding commitment until later this fall. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
A Chapel Hill Town Council will consider creating a service district in the Ephesus Fordham focus area to help pay for improvements to stormwater infrastructure. If the plan is implemented, property in the 190-acre district will be taxed at an additional 4 cents per $100 of assessed value above the town tax rate. The money raised would go to fund and maintain new stormwater management facilities in an area that's been plagued by flooding. The council will also get a first look at a plan to bring a Walgreens drugstore, a bank, and other retail to the corner of Weaver Dairy Road and Martin Luther King Boulevard. In addition, the council will take public comment on plans to expand the Southern Human Services Center, as well as suggestions for next year's budget. The budget hearing starts at 7 o'clock tonight at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Members of Chapel Hill's business community, along with UNC business students and a group of social entrepreneurs, worked together recently to buy a car for a home health worker who's getting a second chance at life.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for being here. Oh, my God.
So how's it feel to have your own car?
I'm just so grateful and thankful that you believed in me.
Jim Kitchen, entrepreneur in residence at UNC's Kenan Flagler Business School, presented a 2002 white Lincoln Town Car with a bow on top to Loretha Green on Friday. It was a total surprise. Kitchen used a good old-fashioned ruse to lure Green to a coned-off parking spot on Franklin Street. She arrived to see the car and a group of cheering well-wishers and friends. Community Empowerment Fund worked with about 80 of Kitchen's Kenan Flagler students to buy the car at a discount from Mark Jacobson Toyota. The CEF identified Green as a worthy candidate for the gift, and the students raised about $5,000 through something they called the Trade Up Project. Chris Jones, a rising junior at Kenan Flagler Business School, explained how the Trade Up Project worked.
Jim supplied us with these koozies that were custom designed with his 1789 brand. This was an entrepreneurship class, so we traded the koozies up for maybe a DVD and traded that up for some other kind of electronic. And what we did was we got objects that had more value, sold them, and gave them the money to Jim so that we could get this car. And we learned a lot, and we were glad we were able to help you out.
CEF is staffed by recent UNC graduates and shares space with Kitchen Startup Business Incubator 1789 Venture Lab on Franklin Street. Here's Jim Kitchen explaining more.
They have really done a great job transitioning the local homeless population into home ownership and beyond. Loretha is one of the star participants in that program.
Loretha Green moved to Chapel Hill in 2011. She enrolled in a residential treatment program for women and children with substance abuse or domestic violence issues. She graduated from that program after 1 year and got involved with Community Empowerment Fund. On Tuesday, she will start attending classes at Durham Tech for an associate degree in nursing. She was certified as a nursing assistant in December of 2012 and is actively working in that field.
I've also had to turn down a lot of CNA positions because I don't have a vehicle. And a really big part of working maybe in nursing homes or in home health care is being able to take clients different places, you know what I'm saying? So they can still enjoy activities of daily life.
Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt stopped by to watch Green receive her new car. He praised her accomplishments as well as the organizing effort it took to get this done.
It's a combination of for-profit business and social ventures, social entrepreneurship at work here, helping make our community a better place.
Green also received a State Farm insurance policy for the car, a Shell gas card, and $350 in maintenance work from Al's Garage. Jiffy Lube contributed some free oil changes, and University Florist made the bow that went on top of the car. It was all for a very worthy cause.
You're an amazing person, and we just wanted to bless you with this car. So,
thank you.
It's
so
yours.
Much. It's mine.
It's mine,
yours.
Really.
It's
really yours.
For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Well, what an uplifting story. WCHL News Time is 7:14. I'm Rod Stutz, and Rand Northam is here to start off your Monday morning. And Rand's had quite a busy weekend, but all kinds of exciting things going on around here.
That's for sure. And I'm reading up, you know, this weekend was the Preakness, and California Chrome won another one. So that's two out of the three in the Triple Crown. Won the Kentucky Derby, won the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes are all that's left.
That hasn't happened in a long time, has it?
It has not happened in a very, very long time, and it's happened to only a very few horses. Now, there's an issue, though.
Yeah.
California Chrome wears nasal strips.
I heard about that.
Yeah. It wears nasal strips to improve the breathing.
Uh-huh.
But the Belmont Stakes, there is a New York rule that does not allow nasal strips on horses.
Who would have ever thought of
addressing
that issue?
You think of steroids in baseball. You think of, you know, other kinds of things. That are doping in cycling that's a problem. Well, now nasal strips could be a problem and could keep the horse, California Chrome, from actually running in the Belmont.
Really?
Because the trainer is seriously considering not running the horse if it can't use the strips. Now, of course, that could be, at this point, just a tactic to try to get the New York Gaming Commission to, you know, drop that rule, because the Gaming Commission can actually drop that and say that California Chrome can use the nasal strip.
And, of course, they want that horse in the race because
it
can make history. You know?
Well, I mean, if that horse is in the race, mm-hmm. regardless of what's happening, what's going on, the crowd there is going to be much larger.
Sure.
There's going to be a much bigger viewing audience than if it's not in the race.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure both sides are going to fight it as long as they can. And then in the end, I'm sure they're going to find a way to get California Chrome in there because, man, and I'm going to be watching it for sure. There's no way you can keep me away from watching that because it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience to be able to see a Triple Crown winner.
Sort of like the difference in the audience when Tiger Woods is in a golf tournament
exactly.
and when he's not there.
That's right. That's so true. So. Even, funny enough with that, even if he's not very good anymore, even if he's not doing his best anymore, I guess you should say, he's still a good golfer, but not at his peak anymore, people are still going crazy about
sure.
it. Yeah.
Sure.
Just interesting. I mean, it's, we hear all the time about steroids and doping and all this other stuff. Well,
yeah.
Nasal strips are added to that list. You might have to add an asterisk next to California Chrome if it wins the Triple Crown.
wonder if Roger Maris ever used nasal strips. I don't know.
I wonder.
What's the name of that horse again?
California Chrome.
There's a song in there somewhere. California Chrome. Roy Orbison did a song called California Blue.
Right, sure.
Right before he died. And he's got a new album coming out this week, I think.
How about that?
Today, I think.
Nice.
And I can't wait to get that.
Michael Jackson doing the post-mortem albums, huh?
Yeah. Well, this is a re-release of one that was recorded right before Roy died and released right after his death.
Okay.
And just
cool.
Outstanding. So, nice. I don't know, how in the world did I get off on that? I have no idea.
I don't know. Shall we digress?
Well, as usual, it's time now for traffic on WCHL, and it's brought to you by Glass Half Full.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still a couple slowdowns this morning. Nothing major at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a road warrior of WCHL by calling 919-967-8363 or by tweeting us at WCHL. Just the major thoroughfares right now, seeing some slowdowns, though, in the NC-54 area, Fordham Boulevard as well on 15501. Everything just about as usual this morning, though.
Thank you for bringing us up to date on the traffic and also on horse racing.
Certainly.
All right. And Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. The beautiful garden patio is now open. It's great out there. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun as well at Glass Half Full. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather presented by Grimble Jewelers. It is 47 degrees, a little bit cool this morning. Sunny skies today. High today in the low 70s. Tonight mostly clear with a low in the upper 40s again. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with the highs in the upper 70s. So a little bit warmer tomorrow. On Wednesday, it's going to be back in the upper 80s. So let's enjoy this cooler weather while we have it.
All day and all night. 97.9 FM. WCHL is your source for breaking news, up-to-the-minute weather, and all kinds of information on our local community. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL. And instantly live streaming on chapelboro.com. There's an app for that. Now, back to Ron Stutz.
And first, this mention of Grimble Jewelers. If you're looking for an engagement ring or that custom piece you've been dreaming of, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods. WCHL News Time, 7:19. Police have arrested a 28-year-old Durham man after he and his stepson were wounded after he fired a gun in their apartment. Investigators said Christopher Graham was shot in the foot on Friday while the 6-year-old boy suffered a more serious wound. The stepson is expected to survive. Police have not talked about what led to the shooting. Graham is charged with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, inflicting serious injury, assault by pointing a gun, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, injury to real property, and discharging a firearm within the city limits. He remains in jail. It's not known if he has a lawyer. Same-sex marriages could begin in Oregon as soon as this afternoon, depending on a judge's ruling. A lot of people in North Carolina watching this decision. U.S. District Judge Michael McShane says he will issue his ruling at 12 noon Pacific time. That'll be 3 p.m. our time on a constitutional challenge to the state's gay marriage ban. Officials in the state's largest county, Multnomah, say they will begin issuing marriage licenses immediately if his ruling allows it. Four gay and lesbian couples brought brought suit, arguing Oregon's marriage laws unconstitutionally discriminate against same-sex couples and exclude them from a fundamental right. Democratic Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum refused to defend the ban, saying there was no legal arguments that could support it in light of decisions last year by the U.S. Supreme Court. The judge denied a request by the National Organization for Marriage to defend the law on behalf of its Oregon members. If this happens in Oregon, could North Carolina be very far behind? In news around town this morning, Launch Chapel Hill is now accepting applications for the fall 2014 Accelerator Program. The program runs for 22 weeks from July 21st to December 19th. It's designed to help budding entrepreneurs build successful, sustainable startups. Applications are due by May 31st. For information on how to apply, you can visit launchchapelhill.com. And Glenwood Elementary School teacher Lee Wang has won a 2014 Global Educator Award from VIF International Education. The awards recognize teachers who help students understand the world's languages, its cultures, and the diverse perspectives of all people. Wang's award includes a travel voucher. Lee Wang is in her first year at Glenwood Elementary, but she's actually been a teacher for 5 years. WCHL News Time, 7:22. Time for WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Stutz. Seventh-seeded North Carolina women's tennis team battled past second-seed Alabama, claiming a 4-2 win on Saturday in Athens, Georgia, to advance to the NCAA Women's Tennis Championship Final Four. With the victory, Tar Heels are now 28-5 on the season. Here's Matt Oakes with more.
Freshman Jamie Loeb, the number one ranked singles player in the nation, as has become customary, took care of her opponent with ease, dispatching Marianne Dane 6-2, 6-3. But it was Carolina's number two singles player, Haley Carter, who ultimately clinched the match with a thrilling three-set win, 6-3, 3-6, 6-2. Loeb says the team is aided by a fighting spirit in the win-or-go-home format of the NCAA tournament.
I think just show up like we did today with a lot of passion, a lot of intensity, and I think all of us really wanted it. We had a really good talk, and I think that really motivated us.
Head coach Brian Kalbas says Tessa Leones at the number six single slot certainly provided a positive boost to the team when she secured the opening set on her court. Leone says although the Tar Heels won an indoor national title last year, getting to the Final Four is its own special accomplishment.
To be honest, this is my first ever Final Four. We've won an indoor national championship, but I mean, this is a big prize.
Carolina has earned a trip back to the Final Four for the first time since 2010. This year, they'll be facing defending national champion and 11th-seeded Stanford on Monday at 1 p.m. The Cardinals sport a 20-2 record and are coming off an upset victory over the 3rd-seeded Virginia Cavaliers. The other national semifinal will pit two storied college tennis programs against one another. Number 4 UCLA meets number 8 Florida. One of the biggest storylines of Monday's UNC-Stanford showdown will be on Court 1, where number 1 will meet number 3. The singles match between number 1 Loeb and number 3 Christy Ahn has the potential to set the tone for the day's play. Ahn will be hoping to exact some revenge on Loeb this time around. The Carolina freshman took the pair's only meeting last October. Loeb will anchor the Tar Heel lineup with her trademark competitiveness and grit that few players have the tenacity to match. She says she's learned to handle the pressure of being the player to beat every time she steps out onto the court.
I mean, I'm used to playing under pressure, so I just go out there and do what I need to do and can't really control certain things, but try to focus on myself and getting the job done.
Despite Carolina's impressive run, Leone says her team still has plenty of work to do, especially with the defending champions on deck. She fully expects another competitive fight.
We can't really celebrate. We got another match to play on Monday. I mean, we can definitely enjoy this, live this moment, but we gotta move on to the next match and get ready because I know it will be even tougher.
Although Carolina comes into the Final Four with the least experience of the four programs, Coach Kalbas believes the doubles point could be the deciding factor, and that's especially for the Tar Heels, who've only dropped 4 doubles points all year in 33 dual matches. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Congratulations to the Tar Heel women. 7th-ranked North Carolina men's tennis team fell to 2nd-ranked Oklahoma 4-2 on Sunday night in the NCAA tournament quarterfinals in Athens. Tar Heels are finished as a team 26-0 overall in the season. That is a school record for victories. The Sooners, meanwhile, are 27-3 on the year and advance to play in the semifinals on today. Carolina got off to a good start, but it wasn't enough. Ultimately, the Sooners are really tough. Oklahoma boasts four players inside the top 55 of the national rankings. Next up for the Tar Heels comes some individual competition. Carolina will be represented in the NCAA singles and doubles championships starting on Wednesday of this week. A pair of UNC freshmen, Braden Snur and Ronnie Snyder, will play in the singles tournament, while Snur will team with sophomore Brett Clark in the doubles tournament due to start on Thursday of this week. UNC baseball team gets ready to take on North Carolina State at 11 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. The Tar Heels lost one game to Miami in 16 innings, 6-5. They won one game 11-2 and lost another close one 2-0 down in Coral Gables, Florida, and actually winning one of three in Miami, which against Miami, which is really not all that bad when you consider who they were playing. Carolina will take on the Wolfpack of North Carolina State tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in a rare Carolina-NC State matchup. UNC is the number 7 seed in the ACC tournament. North Carolina State is the number 10 seed. And again, they will play tomorrow at 11 o'clock. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ryan Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Yes, Carolina and State will finally play a baseball game this season. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. The unwieldy nature of ACC expansion has created some quirks in the scheduling of all sports. Old rivalries that made the league what it is don't seem to matter anymore. The Tar Heels and Wolfpack weren't even slated to play a baseball game this season after UNC won an 18-inning classic in the 2013 ACC tournament and meeting again twice at the College World Series in Omaha. The schools did schedule a so-called non-conference game at Durham Bowles Athletic Park back on April 15th, but it was rained out and never rescheduled. However, the Lord of Rivalries has ordained one game between the Tar Heels and Wolfpack, a very big one in its own right. The winner of Tuesday's ACC play-in game will likely earn an NCAA bid. For the loser, the season is over. And both teams began 2014 with high hopes, but they struggled to play consistent baseball all spring. The Tar Heels had trouble producing runs and swept only one ACC series from lowly Virginia Tech, while getting swept by Duke for the first time since Dick Groat played for the Blue Devils. Well, not really, but it seemed that long. Carolina wound up 15-15 in the ACC and 7th seeded in the ACC tournament. After a bizarre weekend in Miami that included a rainout, a doubleheader in which the Heels blew the first game in 16 innings and then clobbered the nationally ranked Canes in the second. State, meanwhile, with pro pitching prospect Carlos Rodon, lost 5 of its first 6 ACC games and never reached 500 in conference play, finishing 10-15 and 10th in the ACC. Considering the Pack's preseason expectations, this season would have been a complete disaster if State hadn't sneaked into the ACC play-in game by winning 2 out of 3 against Virginia Tech over the weekend. Now State and Carolina play again in the ACC tournament 360 days after their epic. State, unfortunately, has the advantage since Rodon has had enough rest to likely start the game. Pack coach Elliott Avant can't risk not starting his ace lefty because if they lose to the Tar Heels, Rodan's college career is over and he will await the baseball draft. Carolina, meanwhile, will have Trent Thornton pitching on 3 days rest after he started what turned out to be the 16-inning bummer. So it's a game of survival Tuesday in Greensboro. But somehow, some way, it seems as big as the championship game that will be played over the weekend. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
This month, we are celebrating dads and grads at Great Outdoor Provision Company. We can help you find just the right gift that lets that special person know how much you appreciate them. Father's Day is right around the corner, so why not surprise dad with a high-performance Yeti cooler or maybe a pair of Costa Del Mar sunglasses? Or outfit that hard-working graduate with a pair of Chaco sandals, allowing them to pound pavement, trails, and waves in comfort and style. Come see us. We're at Eastgate or online at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Intrinsic Touch Massage. It's half off, $70 for a 60-minute massage, available now for $35. Whether you need relief from a stressful day, have sore muscles, or are looking for the perfect gift for deserving someone, a big massage can make a world of difference. Give your mom the perfect Mother's Day gift. Intrinsic Massage is located at 103 West Weaver in Carrboro in a new office space. It's half off from Intrinsic Touch Massage. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Harbor weather brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham next to New Hope Commons. And it's going to be nice today. It's 47 degrees right now. Lots of sunshine. High today in the low 70s. Dickie's, you can eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering. Go to Dickie's.com.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Economic espionage. Attorney General Eric Holder will name names when making those charges today against hackers who work for a foreign government. More from correspondent Bob Orr.
The Justice Department so far is not publicly identifying the country involved, but we're told to expect the new federal indictment will name China. Sources say specific individuals working for the foreign power will be named when the court papers are released later today. And we're also told that pictures of the suspects will be published.
As for the specifics,
the indictment is expected to detail a sophisticated cyber spying campaign aimed at stealing billions of dollars worth of U.S. corporate and government secrets. Intelligence officials in the past have estimated that American companies are losing something like $250 billion a year in intellectual property, much of that directly to the Chinese.
Bob Orr says hackers have gotten into government computers, including the Federal Reserve, and they allegedly infiltrated the New York Times and the Washington Post. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
7:32 at WCHL, 47 degrees in Chapel Hill, a nice cool morning. Our high today in the low 70s with lots of sunshine. I'm Ron Stutz. The Orange County Commissioners say they are interested in partnering with the town of Chapel Hill to fund the Ephesus Fordham renewal plan. But first, they're going to need some answers about to some questions about the project's impact on flooding, housing, and schools. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Reserved enthusiasm is how Chair Barry Jacobs characterized the Board of County Commissioners' approach to helping Chapel Hill finance the Ephesus Fordham revitalization plan.
We're not here to judge the project. The project has been approved. We're going to try and address our concerns and hopefully make this a strong partnership.
The town council approved rezoning for nearly 190 acres last Monday in a bid to spur redevelopment near the Ephesus Church Road and Fordham Boulevard intersection. The council will likely approve a plan later this spring to spend $10 million to build new roads and improve infrastructure in the region. The debt will be paid using the increased tax revenue from new growth. But in order to pay down the debt sooner, the town is asking the county to chip in 50% of either the annual debt payment or the incremental tax revenue, up to $400,000 a year for a total of approximately $7 million. Chapel Hill's business management director, Ken Penoyer, said while the town could finance the project alone, Orange County's participation would put the project on more sound financial footing.
If the county does not participate, it will certainly make our financing weaker in terms of the capacity of our funds to pay back. If the county does not participate, we will try to move forward with it based on what we have.
While the board expressed interest in the plan, commissioners worried the town had not adequately anticipated the impact of new residential growth on the schools. With 300 to 450 new students estimated in the area, Jacob said finding a nearby school site would be crucial.
We're going to be essentially generating enough students to at least populate half of an elementary school, and the nearest elementary school is one of the older, smaller elementary schools. So if we're being realistic, however much it's going to cost, we need a site. And if there's a site, it makes it way more feasible for us.
Commissioners also questioned the affordability of the new housing in the district, as the newly adopted form-based code prevents the town from mandating developers provide affordable housing options. Though some on the board sought to debate the merits of the plan, Vice Chair Earl McKee pointed out that as of last Monday's vote, it's likely a done deal.
The increased expenses to the county are going to be there. The increased revenue to the county is going to be there regardless of whether we participate. Whether we participate, for me, will depend on trying to work with our partner towns.
Jacobs told Chapel Hill representatives the board will need more information about schools, housing, and the district stormwater plan. He said board members won't likely be ready to make a funding commitment until later this fall. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:35. Chapel Hill Town Council will consider creating a service district in the Ephesus Fordham focus area to help pay for improvements to stormwater infrastructure. If the plan is implemented, property in the 190-acre district will be taxed and an additional 4 cents per $100 of assessed value above the town tax rate. The money raised would go to fund and maintain new stormwater management facilities in an area that's been plagued by flooding. The council will also get a first look at a plan to bring a Walgreens drugstore, a bank, and other retail to the corner of Weaver Dairy Road and Martin Luther King Boulevard. In addition, the council will take public comment on plans to expand the Southern Human Services Center, as well as suggestions for next year's budget. The public hearing starts at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Members of Chapel Hill's business community, along with UNC business students and a group of social entrepreneurs, worked together recently to buy a car for a home health worker who's getting a second chance at life.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for being here. Oh, my God.
So how's it feel to have your own car?
I'm just so grateful and thankful that you believed in me.
Jim Kitchen, entrepreneur in residence at UNC's Keenan Flagler Business School, presented a 2002 white Lincoln Town Car with a bow on top to Loretha Green on Friday. It was a total surprise. Kitchen used a good old-fashioned ruse to lure Green to a coned-off parking spot on Franklin Street. She arrived to see the car and a group of cheering well-wishers and friends. Community Empowerment Fund worked with about 80 of Kitchen's Keenan Flagler students to buy the car at a discount from Mark Jacobson Toyota. CEF identified Green as a worthy candidate for the gift, and the students raised about $5,000 through something they called the Trade-Up Project. Chris Jones, a rising junior at UNC's Keenan Flagler Business School, explained how the Trade-Up Project worked.
Jim supplied us with these koozies that were custom designed with his 1789 brand. This was an entrepreneurship class, so we traded the koozies up for maybe a DVD and traded that up for some other kind of electronic. And what we did was we got objects that had more value, sold them, and gave them the money to Jim so that we could get this car. And we learned a lot, and we were glad we were able to help you out.
Community Empowerment Fund is staffed by recent UNC grads and shares space with Kitchen Startup Business Incubator 1789 Venture Lab on Franklin Street. Here's Jim Kitchen explaining more.
They have really done a great job transitioning the local homeless population into home ownership and beyond. Loretha is one of the star participants in that program.
Loretha Green moved to Chapel Hill in 2011. She enrolled in a residential treatment program for women and children with substance abuse or domestic violence issues. She graduated from that program after 1 year and got involved with Community Empowerment Fund. On Tuesday, she will begin attending classes at Durham Technical Community College for an associate degree in nursing. She was certified as a nursing assistant in December of 2012 and is actively working in that field.
I've also had to turn down a lot of CNA positions because I don't have a vehicle. And a really big part of working maybe in nursing homes or in home health care is being able to take clients different places, you know what I'm saying? So they can still enjoy activities of daily life.
Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith stopped by to watch Green get her new car. He praised her accomplishments as well as the organizing effort it took to get this done.
It's a combination of for-profit business and social ventures, social entrepreneurship at work here, helping make our community a better place.
Green also received a State Farm insurance policy for the car, a Shell gas card, and $350 of maintenance work from Owl's Garage. Jiffy Lube contributed from free oil changes, and University Florist made the bow that went on top of the car. It was all for a very worthy cause.
You're an amazing person, and we just wanted to bless you with this car. So,
thank you.
It's
so
yours.
Much. It's mine.
It's mine, yours. Really. It's really yours.
For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. WCHL News Time is 7:39. I'm Rod Stutz, and Rand Northam is in the WCHL newsroom. And Rand, how's it going this morning?
Going very well. How about you?
All right. I know you got lots of exciting things to tell us about on our website today, chapelboro.com.
Always. And just as we always have him on Mondays, Jeff Danner is back with another Common Science blog talking about renewable energy, and it's sort of like the internet is what he has to say today.
Really?
Of course, I'm sure he has a lot to say about renewable energy and the internet, and this time he puts them all together.
All right.
So that'll be cool.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. And we hope to have Jeff on with us a little bit later in the week talking about this polar ice melting, because NASA says that it's an alarming rate at which the polar ice cap is melting right now. And water will be rising higher and higher at a higher rate than what we were originally expecting, apparently. So
hard to believe. Some people out there still say that global warming does not exist, which is kind of ridiculous. How can you put your head in the sand and not think that?
Yeah, and I think people have the they get upset about it, and they think, you know, there's some people on the side of thinking that global warming is created by the people and other people think that global warming is just a cyclical thing. And, you know, so I think people get their feelings hurt and get all in a tizzy because of all those different conversations. You
I
know?
Don't know why everyone has to take it so personally.
I know, yeah.
It's a scientific thing.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I bet it all comes down to money in the long run.
Oh, yeah,
because
of course.
It's the big companies, the big gas companies saying it's fossil fuels and all that, the, you know, the CO2 in the environment and people chopping down trees and all that. You know, so there's money involved because of all that.
Show me the money. Listen while the money talks.
Show me the money!
Listen while the money talks.
I know that's not where you were going with that, but...
No, but, I can see Cuba Gooding Jr. yelling
that's right.
that right now
that's
in,
right.
in the movie. That's a good movie, by the way.
Hey, did you have fun at the Kennedy Dental Group over the weekend?
I did. You know, I had a lot of fun. The only problem is I never got any ice cream.
What?
Because, you know, but by the time I decided I didn't want to eat ice cream while I was actually on the air, so...
And
by the time I got it, it was all gone.
You don't know anything about that building, do you? Where Kennedy Dental
Park
is?
Oh, no, man. Yeah. Gosh, it was such an historic thing. It was such a nostalgic feeling being on that front lawn again after all the events we've had broadcasting out there.
Yeah.
And you know what really got to me was going inside the building and taking a tour after we were through the broadcast.
I bet.
And just looking at where all the studios were and offices and... you know, I can remember where everything was, but it's now completely reconfigured. It was really kind of hard to visualize.
If anybody doesn't know, where Kennedy Dental Group is on Franklin Street is the former location of the WCHL studios for, gosh, what, 50 years almost?
Many years,
like 45, 50
years? I don't know, but it was a long time, and I worked there for many years. And it was really weird being in there, but they've done a beautiful job renovating that building.
Ron only worked there 75 of the 50 years. So,
I've only been there for 117 years total. So, you know, it was really a good feeling, though. We used to have lots of special events on the front lawn, Easter egg hunts and ice cream socials and everything else. So thanks for asking about that.
Yeah, well, we've got a great community photo gallery up by Susan Murray. She
was
there, and that is posted on our website. That's our newest gallery, so you'll want to check that out.
I haven't even seen it yet.
Also, visit our calendar page. Lots of great things going on in and around Chapelboro that you won't want to miss.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's springtime right now, so there's all kinds of great outdoor events, as well as some indoor events, and we've got them all on our website, as well as much more information and other great things at chapelboro.com with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
Randall, Lou Margolis is next with the commentary about the UNC athletic and academic scandal.
He's got something to say.
Yes, he does. He always does. And what are we talking about on What You're Saying on the Street today?
Today is where is the best place to go for entertainment in Orange County?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. That's on the way next on WCHL.
Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill is celebrating Memorial Day all month long. We realize value is of paramount importance. That's why you'll always find outstanding value that extends to the wow experience. Listen to what John had to say about his performance experience.
I was very impressed with the professionalism of Tracy and his team. The work was completed within the estimated time and everything was satisfactory. I recommend Tracy and Performance Subaru without hesitation.
Now that's a wow. During our Memorial Day all-month-long event, you can lease a 2014 Subaru Impreza 2.0i for $194 per month. That's another wow. Outstanding value throughout your Performance Subaru experience.
Stock number D4536ELB. 42-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. $31.99 due at signing and zero security deposit. Includes acceptable NC taxes, registration, and $549 dealer admin fee. Based on MSRP of $26.99 and sale price of $19,100. With approved credit. Take delivery before May 31st, 2014.
Don't miss the Memorial Day road trip special found exclusively at PerformanceSubaru.com, where sales and service specials abound, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt, and for more than three decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road and the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Drainers. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
Good morning. It is 7:45 at WCHL, 47 degrees, and going to warm up to about 72 today.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. I understand that Archansky's job is to promote UNC athletics. He's a sports fan, and he expresses his devotion at every opportunity. I would like, however, to encourage WCHL listeners to think critically about three flaws in his recent commentary about academic progress among UNC athletes. First, the academic progress rate, the APR, used by the NCAA has many critics. Another research-based index is the adjusted graduation gap, which actually compares athletes to full-time students because, after all, athletes are supposed to be full-time students. According to the AGG, the story is not so uplifting. The truth is that measuring academic success for athletes is a work in progress, so trumpeting something like the APR, especially given the NCAA's primary interest in promoting big-time sports, is problematic, to say the least. Second, it is a mistake to combine all sports when analyzing and talking about college athletes. I applaud the fencers, swimmers, tennis players, and others who master their sports and their academics. The challenges and compromises to the mission of the university take place, almost without exception, in the revenue sports of football and basketball. So we need to focus like a laser on those sports. Third, it's long past time for anyone involved in the debates and conversations about big-time sports to drop the euphemism of student-athlete. We don't generally refer to student poets or student philosophers or student physicists. We talk about the amazing students at UNC who express their skill and creativity through their academic majors or other activities. The term student-athlete is a fabrication by the NCAA over 60 years ago to shield universities from respecting the economic rights of athletes. Because athletes are so-called students, not technically employees, universities are not required to pay the football and basketball players competitive wages. Further, because revenue athletes are so-called students, universities are not required to participate in workers' compensation systems, insurance programs that protect injured workers from severe economic losses. Shouldn't universities bear responsibility for the economic and health consequences of the brain damage and other serious injuries that are inherent in the game of football? The term student-athlete creates confusion, not clarity. Mr. Shansky, as I tell my students, I'll be looking for clear, informative, accurate, and well-constructed arguments in your assignments. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Amanda Nash. Orange County offers many sources of entertainment, and we hit the streets to find out your favorite.
I'm Joseph. I'm from Chapel Hill. This time of year, I like to hang out at Cafe Driade when they have music out on their front porch area. This is the time of year for that.
Brenda Leon, I'm from Chapel Hill. My favorite place is Timberlake Shopping Center and Chelsea Theater.
My name's Jan Buda. I'm from Chapel Hill. I love to go to the Chelsea Theater, and I also love to go to the Carolina Inn for Fridays on the front porch.
Chad, I live in Chapel Hill. Mardi Gras bowling.
What is your favorite place to go for entertainment?
Melissa Colvin, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Comic book conventions.
Obi, Chapel Hill, Powell Street.
Miriam Kennard. I live in Orange County off of Dairyland Road. I really like just hanging out in Carrboro, sitting out at Weaver Street listening to live music.
That's What You're Saying on the Street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Gene Sutterth, Cedars member since 2005. Here's what Gene had to say.
My husband, Tom Sutterth, former state senator, passed away in 2010. He is the reason we came here. But let me tell you why I love living at the Cedars. The location is priceless. We are right in the middle of everything. Grocery stores, the Metamont community, the security and transportation are incredible. The grounds are breathtaking. The food is delicious. I am a vegetarian. And they even customize my pizza. The perks offered on campus are endless. Workout room, pool, hair salon, newspapers, movies, concerts, and so much more. My beloved Tom brought me to the right place.
Thanks, Jean. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Downtown Chapel Hill begins here on the plaza at 140 West Franklin Street. Enjoy free events every Friday night from 6 to 9 at the Live and Local Music and Art Series now through June 27. Live and Local will feature world-class performances and top-notch visual and performing arts. The Live and Local Music and Art Series on the plaza at 140 West Franklin Street. Sponsored by WCHL and DSI Comedy Theater. For more info, go to 140westfranklinplaza.com.
751 at WCHL. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Crown Honda of South Point.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still seeing some delays out there. NC 54 eastbound and westbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40 seeing the delays. Also 15501 northbound and southbound between Estes Drive through the I-40 interchange all the way up to Garrett Road. In both directions, seeing spotty, minor to moderate traffic. That traffic on NC 54 is getting pretty heavy at this time, so be on the lookout for that. I-40 moving smoothly right now and doing pretty well to start off this morning. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely. One accident actually did just pop up. It's in western Wake County. It's an accident right around, I believe that is Harrison Avenue, right around the SAS campus, right there at Harrison Avenue. A major accident causing problems on I-40 heading westbound, so be on the lookout for that.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Crown Honda of South Point is the home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by the Carolina Inn. Nice this morning, 47 degrees, sunshine, high today in the low 70s. Tonight, mostly clear skies with lows in the upper 40s again. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. Don't get to enjoy it too much because on Wednesday, it's going to be hot again with a high of about 88 or 89 degrees. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by Executive Chef James Clark and his very talented team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. 753 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, say hallelujah because Wayne Pond is back. Woo! Yeah! Rand, aren't you happy?
I'm just ecstatic.
Wayne Pond back with a word, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Rand, this is what's called benefiting from the doctrine of low expectations. At least...
Yeah, he didn't have to do much while you were away.
That's right.
He could have hired a band, you know, to see you on sail off into the etymological sunset, right, Ram?
I would just close my eyes while you were gone, and it was printed on the back of my eyelid.
So did you stump him? Did you keep him entertained?
Oh, I kept it fresh with Ron and kept him on his toes, that's for sure.
Yeah, I came up with a song for each one of his words.
Basically. Ron's toes is not something I want to try to picture in my mind.
No, you don't. Trust me.
Well, I tell you, we spend enough time on airplanes lately that it calls to mind the word of the day. I'm going to go all scientific on you here, boys. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
The word of the day is statoscope. Statoscope. No, this has nothing to do with those unpleasant visits to the doctor, Ron, contrary to popular opinion. Statoscope is a noun. It is it's a form of a barometer, a pressure taker, as I understand it.
Technical
measuring
term.
Minute variations of pressure, especially when we're talking about the altitude of an aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
A statoscope. So it's not the thing that hangs around your doctor's neck, Ron. So let's disabuse you of that image right now. Okay?
Well, that's good. Thank you. Makes me feel better.
All right, do you think you can work this into your ordinary, everyday, scintillating cocktail chatter there at the radio station?
I'm sure. It won't be a problem at all.
All right, S-T-A-T-O-S-C-O-P-E, just in case you missed it. Statoscope.
Okay.
All right, buddy, good to be back. Talk to you tomorrow. Be a good boy.
All right, buddy, have a good one.
Wayne
Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL brought to you by Frank Street Realty. Hey, Rand, why would you call anyone else?
I don't know.
Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in here and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
thank you for coming in to do the joke, because I would have thought you would be off today.
That's okay. No, I like to make the most of my day off, which means getting up super early to join you for the lovely clean joke.
Of course.
And then I'll enjoy a bit of the nice weather later on.
Just like any other day. What's going on? What kind of joke you got today?
All right, we still have one or two more great jokes from Laura Dudley related to Teacher Appreciation Week. It was 2 weeks ago now, but again, it's never never a wrong time to appreciate our teachers out there. So
good jokes never go out of style.
That's right, exactly. Just like teachers. The teacher came up with a good problem.
Mm-hmm.
She said, suppose, she asked the second graders, there were a dozen sheep and six of them jumped over a fence.
Okay, a dozen sheep, six of them jumped over a fence.
Right, so she's saying, how many would be left?
Okay.
So I guess this is clearly a math class.
Mm-hmm.
Little Norman answered, none.
Uh-oh.
The teacher said, none. Norman, you don't know your arithmetic. Norman said, teacher, you don't know your sheep. Where one goes, they all go. Which is very, very true.
These
are some smart little kids.
Can't pull the wool over his eyes.
Oh.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Sharon Kearns is today's WCHL Hometown Hero, nominated by her daughter-in-law, Amanda Kearns. Amanda, why is Sharon so special?
You know, Sharon is the most incredible mother-in-law and mother that I could think of. She lives in Charlotte, and she drives all the way to Greensboro every single week to kind of watch our niece, who is my husband's sister's baby, Taylor. She drives about 2 hours twice a week to come up, and she stays two nights. I mean, I can't think of anyone that would be better for the job to watch Taylor, because not only is she, you know, a babysitter, she goes above and beyond to really help out around the house and to be supportive of her daughter, who started occupational therapy school at Chapel Hill. So she is trying to forward herself in her education and wants to make sure that she gets the best for her daughter. Who better to leave her with than Grandma, who's also known as Nana.
You are moving to Richmond, and you're pursuing a residency in pediatric dentistry. Sharon has really been helpful in helping you get ready for the move, right? What has she done to help you?
Oh, Sharon's incredible. Sharon and Russ actually had a litter of puppies. They bred their dog, Abby, who's a boxer, and had a litter of puppies. And my husband and I took two of the puppies, and her daughter, Laura, also took one of the puppies. And as much as we love our dogs, they tend to break screens in the windows because they'll jump up and want to see what's going on outside. So Sharon and her husband, Russ, our father, have come over several times to help us fixing screens around the house to get it ready for the move. They've helped us get our backyard set up again due to puppy damage. So we blame them a little bit. You know, they gave us the puppies that caused the damage, but they've really gone above and beyond to help us get the house ready for the move with painting and replacing screens and getting the yard ready to show. So really, you know, we couldn't have done it without them.
One thing that you said in your email to WCHL, a prouder grandmother than Sharon has never existed, nor has a more loving, selfless mother-in-law.
If anyone wants to see a picture of their newest grandchild, all you have to do is ask Sharon. She's probably got, you know, 50 videos and 50 pictures on her phone. And our little niece Taylor is going to be spoiled rotten. But I can't think of anyone who loves her grandchild or, you know, children and her daughter-in-law and her son-in-law, Laura's husband Chris, as much as Sharon and her husband Russ do. They come up to Greensboro pretty frequently to visit with both of us. Now that my husband Ryan and I are in Richmond, I have no doubt that they'll be frequent visitors to come up and just kind of keep an eye on us, see what we need, and just be there for us, you know, which is wonderful.
Well, it sounds like she truly is a hometown hero and one of your favorite people in the world. Amanda, thank you very much for nominating Sharon Kearns.
Thank you.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
U.S. hacking case.
We're told to expect the new federal indictment will name China.
AT&T to buy DirecTV.
Better service or a bigger bill.
Fungus threatens coffee.
You could see very significant price impacts here in the United States.